Good afternoon. Ben Brown here. It's 13 seconds after the hour this Friday, the 20th of July. You're listening to a Juno Afternoon. We have some great guests today, including Rachel Bird to talk about Birdcage Art Productions, Clay Good and Dan Kirkwood of Goldwing. He'll be playing at the Summer Block Party over in the Centennial Hall Courtyard later this afternoon. John Clow and Lena Simmons from Juno Lyric Opera and Jamie Ann Hasselquist. So stay tuned for that and Bird Note. And I'm looking forward to giving a weather update. Always do on a day like this and other good things. So after National Native News, we'll be back with the Juno Afternoon.
This is National Native News. I'm Megan Kamrick, in for Antonia Gonzalez. Ancestral artifacts collected in the Kodiak Archipelago in Alaska nearly 150 years ago have arrived back home. They're on loan from a museum in France and will remain in the Aleutic Museum and Archaeological Repository in Kodiak for 5 years. The objects were collected by a 19-year-old French anthropologist, Alphonse Pinard, a linguist who visited Kodiak in 1871 and 72. Dacia Eaton with KMXT attended a welcoming ceremony for the objects at the museum.
While the crowd waits for the screws to be taken out of the inner boxes, the Aleutic dancers sing a traditional call-and-response song. A line forms for onlookers to file by the tables where the objects sit. As the packing paper is removed, Aleutic descendants get their first glimpse of their ancestors' work. At last, the cultural treasures come into view, two carved wooden masks and a woman's beaded headdress set, which includes two bracelets and a dance belt. One elder greets the items in Aleutic. Aleutic elder Florence Matfay Pesterkoff admires the headdress beads of white, green, and blue.
I am thankful that these people who took them from here preserve them for us.
She said she's never had a traditional headdress of her own and hopes to make one like it for herself. 22-year-old Derek Shia, an intern at the Aleutic Museum, has been to France to see some of the objects, but he says he's still awed to have them here today.
I'm really particular to the masks, I think, just because there's so little that's written about them, and it was an art that was lost on Kodiak for a long time.
I can tell you I did not sleep last night because I was so excited.
That's Elder Margaret Roberts. She's chair of the Aleutic Heritage Foundation and has worked to reawaken Aleutic culture since the 1980s.
This has been a dream that came true.
In September, the new items will be incorporated into displays on Aleutic spirituality. In addition, the museum plans to assemble a group of beaters to study and recreate the regalia to share as replicas when the historic set returns to France. In Kodiak, I'm Dacia Eaton.
A judge ruled in Leonard Peltier's favor this week in a suit the Native rights activist brought against Washington State's Department of Labor and Industries, claiming violation of his First Amendment rights. The Seattle Times reports the department removed his paintings from an exhibition in 2015 after two retired FBI agents complained. Peltier was convicted for the murders of two FBI agents on the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota and is serving two life sentences, although he has long maintained he's innocent. U.S. District Judge Ronald Layton denied the state's motion to dismiss Peltier's suit and said the case should go to trial. Layton equated the removal of the paintings to government censorship. Officials with the Bureau of Land Management inadvertently published confidential information that contained locations and descriptions of numerous cliff dwellings, rock art, and other Native American antiquities in Utah. A report by Reveal found the document may have violated federal regulations and included details of ruins that were supposed to be kept confidential. One archaeologist called the document a gold mine for pot hunters. Scientists and Native American tribes have shared information with BLM about antiquities with the understanding it would not be made public. For National Native News, I'm Megan Kamrick.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is by Odawi Law Group, provider of Indian Law Solutions, and by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite System.
Support by First Tribal Lending, NMLS 15009, the nation's most experienced Section 184 lending team. Info for home loans on and off the reservation available at onetribal.com. That's the numeral onetribal.com. Support by Freedom Lodge, presenting Body and Earth, the future of Native wellness, an investment to protect our ways of life to benefit seven generations to come, September 12th through the 15th. Early bird discount extended to August 1st at bodyandearth.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Been standing in line, I'm the wolf at the border. Take a look in my eyes, 100 years on my shoulders.
After the hour, I'm Ben Brown, and this is a Juneau afternoon. And today is, of course, Friday, the 20th of July, one of the nicest days of the summer, but we're starting to have a lot of them, and so I don't want to start taking them for granted. Thanks for listening to that last song. Before we listen to our first guests, that was Borderland by Dan Kirkwood. He's going to be on in a moment talking about his performance over at the Summer Block Party tonight. But now I have Rachel Bird, Alvin Williams, and Emma Arnold, comedians visiting from out of town and not so out of town person, comedian, hostess with the mostess.
Oh, heck.
So welcome welcome to a Juno Afternoon, Rachel, Emma, and Alvin.
Thank
Hi,
you.
Thank you for having
us. Good to be here.
And so what comedic good news do you have to share with our listeners?
We have some pretty amazing comedic good news. So I operate our promotions company called The Birdcage, which we started last year, which is really fun. Basically, the main function of that is to take any kind of out-of-town art, bring it here, and then use that as a platform to network with all of our local artists that we have in such great bounty here, because I think that's just amazing. And I love having different folks come in, but it's really important, I think, to kind of do some groundwork on the local art that we have here. And if they want to travel and go different places, then let's bring people in there and network it.
Excellent.
So, yeah, we have a series that we just started this year. We did kind of a prototype of it last year when we worked with Club Baby Seal, the local comedy group here in Juneau. And the new series this year that will be sort of forever and always, year-round, wintertime, summertime, is called Choked Up, Comedy in the Capital City, where I'll bring folks from the lower 48 in comedy, and they'll perform up here, and we'll have our local folks open for them. So we're doing that.
Excellent, Rachel. That's really good news to hear that you've got this down to a science. I certainly agree that the influx of outside talent to Juneau really helps people in the audience, but it helps performers here, too, to learn from people who are doing other great things elsewhere.
I agree, too. Like, it's hard to just be a legend in the lower 48. Like, I decided to bring my talents here. And,
you know, that's exactly what he meant.
My greatness should be seen, and I respect Rachel for bringing me in.
Oh, my God. I really respect that that's what you're doing. I think that's a really neat thing to do. Alvin and I both run shows where we're from, and we try to do the same thing. So it's fun to see someone else who's doing that and, like, kind of do an exchange of art and culture that way.
Is this your first time, Emma and Alvin, in Juneau?
No, I actually lived here for a season in 2005, so it's kind of a return for me.
And I spent all last summer on cruise ships that stopped through Juneau once a week, so I've really gotten the lay of the land of the town and made some friends that I get to see come to the shows this time around. But it's been a year since I've been here, so I'm happy to be back.
And it's changed a little bit in a year, and I bet it's changed quite a bit in a dozen years.
Yeah, it's changed so much. It's grown so much. I was pretty shocked flying in.
Yeah, and the sun is out. Like, that's a really big change since the last time I was here.
And you said you were here all last summer.
I was, and you remember that summer.
It wasn't. Yeah, it was almost that bad. You got it, Alvin. You're right.
Yeah, it was six straight weeks of no sun, and then I went to the grocery store, and all the vitamin D was sold out, and I wasn't prepared for that. But I was ready this time. Yeah. I have an overstock now because I don't need it.
A Juno famine.
Vitamin D hoarding is not cool, by the way. You know, you got to share that stuff when there's a scarcity of sun. That's right.
Sharing's caring, everybody.
So you're here for long enough to do some shows, but they're coming right up, right, Rachel?
That's right. So we have a show tonight. We also have one tomorrow night. So I mentioned that we have local comics that are going to open for these guys here, Emma and Alvin. So tonight we got the doors open at 7 o'clock, back bar of the Imperial. Show officially starts at 8, and so we've got Allison Holtkamp and then Corin Hughes-Scandis. They're going to open for them. And then Saturday, we'll have Alicia Hughes-Scandis and Clint Farr.
All right, they're very funny. Yeah, Club Baby Seal, they've really been, you know, obviously pioneering the stand-up, the comedic improv, or mostly, but not improv, sorry, just the stand-up art here in Juneau. But again, to have you guys come and work with them together, I think, is a great thing.
Oh yeah. And this will be my second time working with Club Baby Seal. I love those comics. Like, I really enjoy working with them, and I love seeing them grow. Like, they just get better every time that I see them. So this is really exciting for me. It's like a reunion.
That's great. I only did it one time for Pride Week. This was like 2004 or 5. We had a guy from L.A. come up, and we did it at the Hangar Ballroom, and I actually did a few minutes to open for him. And I've been in many plays, you know, 30, 40 plays, but I'd never done stand-up before. And it's like memorizing lines in a play. The precision, the timing, everything is so much more than just getting up there and talking and being funny. People don't realize that. So
yeah, it's terrifying until it's not. You know?
Right. Like, just like it's funny until it's not.
Exactly.
I feel that same way before the first free drink that I get. Then it changes a little bit, like what my strategy is as far as what I'm bringing to the table. Becomes a lot more improv after that point.
Amen. Amen, Alvin. So the shows are going to be tonight and tomorrow at the Imperial.
That's right. The back bar at the Imperial. We're going to do some soundproofing and put some curtains up. We'll have our own bar back there. There's VIP seating as well as general seating. But I'm really excited. I think it's going to be great.
And people can just come by. No time, no need to get advance tickets at this point.
No advance tickets for the Friday Friday show are no longer because they stopped the day of the show.
Right.
So you can get tickets at the door. There's still a few left there, so please do that. And then if online tickets are of interest to you, then Saturday those are available.
Yeah. Excellent. Now, again, I said you were a wonderful hostess. You've got people visiting. What are you going to show Emma and Alvin after they're done performing this weekend around the Capital City?
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's so
not to put you on the spot.
It's so very nice of them that they booked their tickets early on Sunday morning just to leave.
That's true.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Get out, really?
Yeah. I tried. I know.
Oh, you guys, it's supposed to be this way until like Monday, Tuesday.
I know. I'm really bummed.
I'm just saying.
I just found out about the good weather as I was on the plane. Like, Rachel was texting me as I was in the air, telling me, oh, it's going to be nice now.
We can text you pictures from our hikes on Monday.
Perfect.
That's perfect
that's
for
fine.
Alvin.
That's
don't
the only
be
hiking
mean.
He wants to get near.
So, okay, so there's one thing. We walked around downtown. We saw historic downtown, looked at, you know, the old bars and hotels and all the cool stuff, and also showed the new stuff. So we went into Amalga Distillery today.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow, from 4 to 6 p.m., we're doing a meet and greet. And so I'd like to invite everyone to that as well, if they'd like to. So and before the show tomorrow, 4 to 6 p.m. at Amalga Distillery.
Well, boy, it doesn't get better than that. A meet and greet at Amalga.
Heck.
You guys, you're competing with the best weather of the summer, and I bet you're going to get a good crowd.
Mm-hmm, the drinks are so good there
at
Amalga.
Yeah, but you guys in gin and tonics, it's pretty hard to resist.
Right?
Cool. All right. So, Alvin, Emma, Rachel, anything else you want to share with our listeners on a Juno afternoon?
Oh, no, just thanks for having us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here. And go and see the show tonight or tomorrow. It sounds like it's going to be funny.
It will be.
Hoot and holler. Right. Thanks, man. Appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks.
My
This is Bird Note. A sweetly whistled song speeds toward a melodious trill. It's still dark, an hour before dawn on this July morning in the Wisconsin countryside. A field sparrow announces the new day. This was the first bird song Aldo Leopold awoke to on his farm in the 1940s. In his Sand County Almanac, a classic of conservation and nature writing, Aldo Leopold brought to life scenes of nature a month at a time. Picture a man sitting on a bench outside his cabin door, awaiting the dawn chorus, a cup of coffee in hand, facing, as Leopold put it, the white wake of the morning star. He wrote, "Before the field sparrows have quite gone the rounds, the robin in the big elm warbles loudly his claim to the spot in the old tree." The robin's insistent caroling awakens the oriole. Then the indigo bunting. And so it goes. Field sparrows aren't as common today as they were in Aldo Leopold's day. But conservation of natural grasslands can help boost their numbers. And the Federal Conservation Reserve Program is leading the way, helping to maintain the ideal habitat for these sweet singers. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
So it is now 18 minutes after the hour. I'm Ben Brown. This is a Juno afternoon. I do have a quick public service announcement in case anyone was going to go swimming, and it's hot and they might. Twin Lakes is closed. Fecal bacteria, unfortunately. Parks and Rec has closed Twin Lakes, and they sample that water on a frequent basis, but don't go swimming. I'm sure there's signs posted, but anyhow, you've been warned. So our next guests are Dan Kirkwood and Clay Good from Goldwing. Gentlemen, welcome to a Juno afternoon.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
I am glad you're here as well. It's great. It's hard to be inside, but the good news is we're all going outside in about 2 hours.
Absolutely.
And where are we going?
We're going across the street over to the courtyard at Centennial Hall to hear Goldwing play and to see some vendors and buy some food and join your community at the block party on this sunny Friday summer day in Juneau.
It's a pretty amazing one.
Yeah.
We're just in the second half of the block parties. Dan, I work over at the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council, and so we do these every week for most of the summer. But only last week did we start doing them outside. So you guys are the second outside, so good on you. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Bring your sunblock.
It's so much fun to play outside, and who could predict that you'd get a chance to do it in Juneau?
Really?
Well, tell us and our listeners a little bit about Goldwing.
Yeah, Goldwing is a band that we put together here in Juneau a couple years ago now when I was looking for some folks to play with me and play some of the songs I was writing. and went around recruiting some folks and came up with Mr. Ben Higdon, plays the Telecaster guitar.
He does.
Dan DeSlover on the bass. And boy, I think for us the biggest get was Mr. Clay Good, local legendary drummer.
I'm blushing on the radio.
He is.
He actually is through his sunburn.
West Coast phenomenon of percussive ability.
Oh, shucks.
And, you know, it's been a really fun group, and I play in a couple different bands, and I really love sort of the niche I feel like we've created for ourselves, and it's been a great evolution as we've written songs that are more designed for the band.
Yeah, finding our groove and where we fit together, and yeah, it's been nice.
Yeah.
And I know you have a bit of a following. When you sent some of the promotional materials over to my colleague Megan at the Arts Council, there was a reference to dad rock. So maybe you want to, you know, just unpack that a little bit for listeners.
Well, Dan has a dad. He's going to be here soon, right?
We all hopefully have dads.
Yeah, I'm a dad.
Have or had. That's absolutely correct.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Well, so when we got together, you know, what we were trying to do was take some sort of Americana songwriting and take some country music and add something different, add some flavor to it, what we were calling space country. And then, you know, in the evolution of Ben and Dan having kids, Clay having grandkids, and I think just recognizing some of our shared interests of music like Steely Dan and Van Morrison and just diving deeper into our own favorite artists, we jokingly started referring to ourselves as Juno's leading dad rock band.
Yeah. And not to mention the fact that when the audience shows up, there's usually a bunch of 3- and 4-year-olds doing most of the dancing.
We have a very kid-friendly thing going on. We do have a beer garden, but you have to be 21 or with a parent or guardian to enter it. But, yeah, kids, I think, at every single block party this summer. And, you know, I emceed these things back when they were concerts in the park over at Marine Park 15 years ago.
Yeah, it's for kids.
And there's always been a kid dancing, rain, shine, inside, outside, whatever's involved.
Yeah.
So you have a new tune we're going to play when we're done here, but what is the trajectory of the band this summer? Do you have other gigs? Are you traveling anywhere? Are you doing any state fairs, anything like that?
That'd be nice.
You know, this summer we've decided to just enjoy the sun. You know, we're really glad that we have this opportunity to play for folks. So, you know, for anybody who does want to come hear us, I'd say today's the day for the summer.
Summer's like herding squirrels for anybody's organization. Everybody's got things going. So, yeah, to be able to land all together on one day and perform, we're feeling pretty lucky.
So basically what I'm hearing is you need to come hear these guys tonight at 5:30 in the Centennial Hall courtyard. Now, I know a little bit about the setup over there. We usually start a little earlier than 5:30, and sometimes we go a little later than 7. So, you know, if you're like, oh, my God, I've got to do something, don't stay away because of that. There should be plenty of parking because the state lot will be open, and people should come by. So this song that we're about to hear, Hold On Jolene, any story behind that, or should we just let it plant as an imagination seed in our listeners' minds?
Oh, you know, I will say a few things about it. This song came together when we were screwing around at our rehearsal space, and we were just playing some blues riffs, and Clay started doing some really funky sort of polyrhythmic drumming against a very standard 4/4 blues riff that I just thought was such a thrill. The lyrics to this song are actually a response to the famous song Jolene that I learned to sing for an event I did once. I sang Jolene at a...
You sang it really nicely, too.
Thank you.
If you guys haven't heard Gigi Monroe sing Jolene, she nails
it.
That's one of her best.
Yeah.
I would put myself below that.
Yeah. Well, she's also lip-syncing. So, you know.
Good point.
But doing it just like Dolly would want her to.
Oh, man, you just threw her under the bus, man.
Hey, I think she's in Salzburg. I think it's okay. But you never know, though. This is on the interweb forever.
They have buses there, too.
So that's great. So this was really just one of those magical things that came out of the rehearsal process as a band.
Yeah, it really did. You know, just a lot of times my songwriting process is to bring a song basically fully formed to the group. But we have a couple of my favorite songs that we play that evolved the other way around, from a bass line or from a piece of Clay's drumming. This is just a rough demo, but a tune that I hope we'll play tonight.
Well, we're going to listen to that as soon as we're done chatting. But we listened to Borderland before, and then I've also got Manhattan, Montana queued up. And it sounds like there's a lot of diversity. You know, the way you describe some of your impulses, it's not surprising that each song sounds a little bit different. I think it's great, though. It's a great sound.
Well, what I really like about Dan's writing is his imagery. His lyrics always have layers of meaning, and he's got diverse perspectives. He's got a big point of view and a lot of different things to write about. And I find the music just great to listen to myself. I mean, I love being in a band just to hear what he's writing.
Cool. All right. Well, this is going to be a great opportunity. I'm really looking forward to the block party tonight. So Dan Kirkwood, Clay Good, anything else you'd like to share with our listeners on a Juno afternoon?
Enjoy the summer.
Well, then you guys get to go over and do a sound check in the sun, and I'll follow shortly across the way.
We'll see you there.
All right. Thanks, gentlemen.
Bye.
This is Bird Note. A sweetly whistled song speeds toward a melodious trill. It's still dark, an hour before dawn on this July morning in the Wisconsin countryside. A field sparrow announces the new day. This was the first bird song Aldo Leopold awoke to on his farm in the 1940s. In his Sand County Almanac, a classic of conservation and nature writing, Aldo Leopold brought to life scenes of nature a month at a time. Picture a man sitting on a bench outside his cabin door, awaiting the dawn chorus, a cup of coffee in hand, facing, as Leopold put it, the white wake of the morning star. He wrote, "Before the field sparrows have quite gone the rounds, the robin in the big elm warbles loudly his claim to the spot in the old tree. The robin's insistent caroling awakens the oriole. Then the indigo bunting. And so it goes. Field sparrows aren't as common today as they were in Aldo Leopold's day, but conservation of natural grasslands can help boost their numbers. And the Federal Conservation Reserve Program is leading the way, helping to maintain the ideal habitat for these sweet singers. For BirdNote, I'm Mary McCann.
It is 30 minutes, a little more than 30 minutes after the hour, today being Friday the 20th of July. I'm Ben Brown. This is A Juno Afternoon. And with me are Lena Simmons and John Clow from Juno Lyric Opera. Welcome, my friends, to A Juno Afternoon.
Thank
hey, Ben.
You.
So an event coming up tomorrow night and an event coming up in a few months, and we're going to learn more about both of them.
Yeah, they're actually even a little connected, too. But the one tomorrow night is the one Lena's shepherding here. So go ahead and tell us about the Midsummer Vocal Festival.
Well, this summer we did a two-week workshop on Broadway music, and we've been singing lots of wonderful things, and we're going to show them off tomorrow night, 7:30 at the Jack, and tickets are available, you know, outlets. But, you know, we've got lots of solos and lots of wonderful choral music and music from Broadway and music from TV and music from films and just, you know, theatrical types of music. And so I think people are going to find something that they know and that they love, and they might find something that's new to them that they will now, of course, love.
Now, this is the culmination of a workshop process, like you said. How many years has this been going on? Decades?
We're celebrating our 30th midwinter this coming winter.
And winter was the first one.
Winter was the first
and
one.
And summer followed winter.
Right. That's, yeah. Well, you know, we did winter a couple of years and then decided, you know, well, we wanted to do a major work, and that wouldn't work in the amount of time we had in the winter. So we did it in the summer and did it every other year. And then suddenly we were doing it every year. And now I have lost count, but...
Well, it will be 30. For that entire 30 years, we've had the same amazing choir conductor coming up every year, Dr. Byron McGilvery. Mm-hmm. Started in San Francisco, then moved to Texas. He is truly internationally renowned. I've actually had the personal privilege of traveling abroad and singing in Italy, Switzerland, Austria, and Europe with him on one of his tours. He is a big-time player in the choral music business, and he loves Juno, and he's been a fantastic mentor to our singers for truly decades now.
And people have really learned a lot from him. And it's not just the same people. Some people have done it forever, but I mean, those people, like ripples in a pond, are bringing new people in every year.
We've got people who have never sung with us before this workshop, and that's true of every workshop. You know, people come and go in this town, and people who come, you know, eventually they'll show up at the workshop, and it doesn't matter at what level singer you are. You know, you could be a shower singer, you could be Pavarotti. It doesn't matter. There's a place for you in the choir.
And you couldn't be righter about the ripples, Ben. I mean, I started this probably almost 20 years ago, and then I brought my daughter Megan to it. She became a student of Byron's. She went to the Berklee College of Music. She now runs her own music academy here in Juneau, the North Star Music Academy. Mm-hmm. She has her students who she's now sending to sing with Byron. So that's like four generations we have jammed in there. That's pretty amazing.
No, that is just a very good explication of how artistic events like this, even ones that don't happen year-round, can have year-round impacts that benefit the whole community.
And if there's one single word I would use to describe tomorrow night's performance, it is undoubtedly the word fun. These songs are just plain fun. I mean, we're doing the theme from the Bugs Bunny television cartoon series. We're doing a whole bunch of 50s and 60s TV theme songs that I guarantee you most of the members of that audience will know all of the words to. We're going to do some classics like There's Nothing Like a Dame from South Pacific, but also a lot of the more modern stuff. Sister Act is now a big show on Broadway. Raise Your Voice, a fantastic choral piece from that. Newsies, a lot of people have seen that in the last number of years. A great song called Seize the Day from that. We Dance from Once on This Island, which Perseverance's STAR program is putting on right now here in Juneau this week. And what a great cross deal between the two organizations.
And what a new piece of music that is.
Yes.
That was only on Broadway 3 years ago.
Exactly.
Well, actually, Once on This Island won this year's Tony.
Okay, so it was just last
revival,
year. Okay.
The best revival.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So there really are a lot of just really fun pieces, the kind of stuff you're just going to want to say, wow, you know.
Excellent.
Including John's solo.
Well, we don't need to talk about that. You just need to come and hear it.
And it's going to be in the main hall at the Jack. And, in fact, because we're having the summer block party outside tonight, your stage and your sound shell are being set up as we speak.
Yay!
I saw it in progress when I came over and tasked poor Leonard, who was doing that, with asking him to do a couple other things. But it's all going to be done and ready to go. So you'll have it for rehearsal tomorrow. And there are tickets left. I just looked. People can buy them online, of course, at jahc.org. They can go to the bookstores. But if you're going to be at the summer block party tonight,
you might as well buy it while you're there.
Yeah, the
exactly.
And I should tell people that actually Centennial Hall, we will not have that office open tonight, but you can, when you're at Centennial Hall now during the day, we have a Boca machine set up there for Vendini, so the Arts Council can sell you tickets at two box offices, one in the Davis Gallery over in Centennial Hall and one in the lobby shop
at the
Jack. If you didn't know that, I'm telling you for the first time on a Juno afternoon.
And by the way, we're very happy at Juno Lyric Opera to be announcing tomorrow night that we hope this is the very last time we put on a Midsummer Festival in that building, because we're so excited about the work that the people at the Jack and the new Jack project are doing to build us a real new arts and humanities project here in Juneau. We're very excited about
that. We're keeping
that.
Our fingers crossed.
Yes. Well, yes. And there's been some good news on that front, and there will continue to be in the coming weeks. But if I started talking about that now, I would probably go on for an hour, as usually I do, so I won't. Right, John?
Well, one of the cool things, if I can do a little bit more promotion here, we're doing two songs this summer from the film Casablanca. Now, it's a Casablanca, it's a song, everybody says, As Time Goes By. Probably the quintessential classic movie theme song. But what people forget is that Casablanca actually had about 20 fantastic period songs played in that movie, most of which you just hear in the background. The band is playing it, or Sam's playing it on the piano, or maybe in the cafe in Paris. And they're really some amazing, fantastic songs. So one of them was It Had to Be You, a classic song from the 30s. We're going to be having that performed as a solo. And this is leading to something, a very exciting project. Juno Lyric Opera is combining on, partnering with Colette Cost at the Gold Town Nickelodeon. We're doing an original show called Here's Looking at You, Casablanca. And it's going to be in November of this year at the Rockwell. And it's going to be an interactive musical review and tribute to what I think is the greatest film of all time. We're going to convert that ballroom in the Rockwell to something approximating Rick's Cafe, and you're going to go up there and have your glass of champagne and just be sitting there in Rick's Cafe hearing these wonderful period songs from the film by the absolute best singers in Juno, led by Rob Cohen, who's putting together a great band for us. And it's going to be a very special night, very interactive. You're really going to feel like you're in the movie.
That's very exciting. We've talked about this a little bit before, John, and I know you've gone through a lot of trouble planning out the production values, casting a great cast. I'm going to be in Europe for most of the month preceding it. I just downloaded the soundtrack to my Amazon Music, though, of Casablanca, so I'll be listening to that on my way back as we fly back from London. And I'll be jazzed to see the show. Tickets aren't on sale yet. They'll probably be sold out by that point, so we'll get those up and for sale pretty soon.
Only six performances and only 100 seats approximately per show, so it's going to be tight tickets. The weekends of November 9th and November 16th, we're very excited about that one.
Excellent. So Juno Lyric Opera, those are two things coming up, one tomorrow, one in November. Anything else on the horizon you want to share with our listeners?
Well, like I said, in January with Midwinter, it's our 30th Midwinter. And so we hope that everybody who's sung with us will come out and sing with us again. And we've gone back, and Dr. McGilvery has chosen music and performance, solo performances that he particularly liked. And so we're going to be singing just a real variety of stuff that we've done over the last 30 years.
We got some auditions coming up, too, don't
we? And we got, oh, tomorrow. That's true. Tomorrow we have auditions for the main principal cast of Cavalleria Rusticana. That's at 2 o'clock tomorrow at the Jack. Come prepared to sing an Italian aria. And if you don't have one, come sing something in English. It's just to hear your voice, you know. If you're interested in being in the chorus, you should just contact our office.
All right, very good. So the chorus is pretty open access, and the parts,
pretty much, yeah. The principles, well, you know, it's beautiful music.
But okay. It's not just the easy, it's not what you want your first time out as an opera singer on stage as a solo if you haven't done
probably.
That before.
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it depends.
You never know. Some people's first times are amazing.
Are amazing, you know.
Excellent. So that's something else to look forward to. Juno Lyric Opera, some web resources people can go and look at, or a Facebook page?
Both.
So it's
It's junoopera.org.
There you go.
And then the Facebook, of course, is just you look up Juno Lyric Opera.
Excellent. Well, just really quickly, in relation to the Arts Vibrancy Index ranking from the National Center for Arts Research at Southern Methodist University, we were ranked this week number 9 in the nation. Very proud of that. And they specifically mentioned the fact that we had two opera companies here, which is now the Orpheus Project, mm-hmm. formerly Opera to Go and Juno Lyric Opera. They specifically mentioned Perseverance Theater. They mentioned the Soboloff Building, the APK. And, of course, they mentioned the Juno Arts and Culture Center and the plans for New Jack. So it really all kind of weaves together at a community level that really makes it a profession.
Well, all the arts should weave together at a community level. Ben, you know, it's
And we're celebrating our 42nd year, I think, this year, isn't it?
I think it's 42nd or 43rd.
I mean, so that's a pretty good run for a company like ours. We're very proud of it.
Excellent. So, all right. Thank you so much, John and Lena. And I will let you go out and enjoy the sun. I mean, you probably have some sort of indoor rehearsing to do tonight. But if not, I hope to see you at the block party across the street.
Thanks.
All right. Good to see you, Ben.
Yep.
Late one, Sam. For all time's sake.
I don't know what you mean, Miss Elsa.
That's perfect.
Play, Sam. Play. As time goes by.
Oh, I can't remember it myself. I'm a little rusty on it.
I'll hum it for you. Sing it, Sam.
You must remember this. A kiss is just a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh. The fundamental things apply as time goes by. And when two lovers woo, they still say I love you. On that you can rely. Brains as time goes by.
Sam, I thought I told you never to play.
Shake your
It is 45, almost 46 minutes after the hour here. It's a Juno afternoon, Friday the 20th of July, and I am Ben Brown. I'm in for Andy Klein, your regular Friday afternoon host. And now we are going to talk to Jamie Ann Hasselquist about a hair collection project that's going on and its origins and how much better it's going than it was 10 years ago. Welcome to a Juno afternoon, Jamie Ann.
Thank you, Ben. It's really good to be here.
Yeah, it's very good to see you as always, especially on a lovely day like this. It's a little easier to just be happy, I think, sometimes. So tell us about Knockout Hair and Nails and how you guys got involved with this hair collection project.
All right. Well, I'm Knockout Hair and Nails, and I got my name because I'm a former boxer, and I am still currently involved with the fight scene here in Juneau, and I'm the announcer for AK Beatdown. Our season's just getting ready to start. So 10 years ago, actually 14 years ago, my sister had passed away from cancer, and she loved her wigs, and it took me 4 years to hold a hair drive in her honor. So that would be 10 years ago now. And I collected 253 inches of hair. 32 participants were involved, and there were 5 salons with 6 hairdressers.
Okay, so and this has been going on for a while, but 10 years is a long period. But now how many inches have you already collected this year?
This year I've gotten about 12 salons who are involved, and we've already got over 385 inches.
That is most impressive. Congratulations. And this goes until the 25th of August, so there's still plenty of time for people to get involved if their hair is long. So what are the criteria that people need to consider that may make them decide, I could do that, or maybe it's not the best thing for me?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people out there in our communities and people who are listening today that aren't actually in Juneau who would love to donate hair and would like to know the requirements. There is an organization, Children with Hair Loss, and they will accept hair that is 8 inches in length or longer. And then the other outfit that we're using is Pantene Beautiful Lengths. And both these organizations provide wigs to children and women completely free of charge. And it's just a really great program. So 8 inches of hair, you put it in a rubber band. Has to be cleaned, and they will accept gray hair. Non-chemically treated hair is preferred, but any hair that's in good condition would be accepted.
That's good to know, because I actually had someone say to me, I think maybe if it's treated, it couldn't be included. So now 8 inches is actually pretty long hair, though. Most people, I shouldn't generalize, but it's only those who've got about that much that they're – but people often go pretty close down, too, when they cut the hair off for a charitable purpose like this.
Oh, yeah. On occasion, they do. Some people have a lot of hair to spare. I mean, they've got 24 inches, and they want to give 12, and they still got 12 inches to work with.
So if somebody is interested, but they're not ready just to come charging into your shop or some other place and have the haircut done, can they learn a little more about this? Is there an online resource, or could you maybe chat with somebody who is thinking about it?
I would be happy to take phone calls. You can give me a phone. You can send me a text message. You can get a hold of me on Facebook at Knockout Hair and Nails. I can give my phone number out when you're ready for that. But there are all these participating salons here in town that you could stop by also, because they are collecting hair.
And why don't we go through some of the names of the participating salons?
That would be great. Right downtown, we have First Impressions, which is on the wharf. We have Salon Cedar, and they're in the Senate building.
The Senate building, they just expanded. Actually, that's where I get my hair cut from time to time. I often let it grow a little long. But, yeah, Brendan Sullivan.
Brendan is wonderful.
And if you haven't gone up there, the entrance is now next to Bustin' Out Boutique.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a bigger shop. They have more capacity now.
Yeah, it's a great place to go and get your hair cut and then hop next door and go get fitted. So there's that salon. And then we have Ruby down at Hair Today. And we have Little Mermaid over in Douglas. And then we have Hair by Sion in Lemon Creek. So we're kind of spread out all over town so that we can get people everywhere. And then in the valley, we've got, oh man, Coasty Cutters, the Beauty Bar, Lulu's. We've got, of course, Knockout Hair and Nails. We have Studio 104 and Custom Cuts, all located. Those three are located at the Jordan Creek Mall.
And we were discussing a little bit before we came on the air. If there's anyone out there who is a hairstylist and you did not hear your name or your business's name, you can participate as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Hit me up. I'd be happy to swing by and grab hair and get everyone involved. I think this is a really great opportunity for Juneau to come together as a community and send this out and really put us on the map as, you know, doing something really great for people who are in need.
Excellent. And I'm sure, like we do in so many other ways, Juneau can outperform so many other communities because we have the spirit and the energy and the integration to do it. So, yeah, Jamie Ann, do give people some contact information where they could get in touch with you if they're interested in this, whether they be someone with hair they want to donate or another stylist or just someone who's interested in hearing how you're helping people who need wigs and need the service.
Yeah, that sounds good. My phone number is area code 907-500-4580. You can text me or call me. You can send hair. If you have hair that you want to donate, just put that in a Ziploc bag and send it to my post office box and, you know, Knockout Hair and Nails. And it's P.O. Box 33476. That's Juneau, Alaska, 99803.
All right. Well, if you missed any of that, this show will be archived on the KRN and KTOO sites. You can go and listen to that again. And you could probably find out a little more just with the Facebook look for a Knockout Hair and Nail. So Jamie Ann Hasselquist, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
Anything else you want to share with our listeners before we go?
Oh, I just want to encourage everyone to donate and thank everyone who already has.
All right. Thank you, Jamie Ann.
I'm Beth Weldon, and I support the New Jack. We just have seen the Southeast by the Numbers report. We're losing population. We're losing families. It's that piece of quality of life. I support the JAC because I see it as a revenue enhancer. I see it as part of our economic development plan. And I also see it as a great quality of life product that will just improve Jenna White's home.
To learn more about the new JAC, go to newjacc.org. And it is about 4 minutes before the hour. I'm Ben Brown. You've been listening to Juno Afternoon this Friday, the 20th of July. And it is a lovely day out there. The weather forecast is actually pretty awe-inspiring. Today, we've been, you know, hovering around low to mid-70s with west winds to 10 miles per hour. And tonight's supposed to be mostly clear. It's going to get down to 50 or so with west winds continuing tomorrow. Sunny once again with temperatures in the mid-70s. West winds again. Tomorrow night, clear again. Similar temperatures. And then sunny and a high around 80 on Sunday. And sunny conditions going into Monday and Tuesday. So something to appreciate and take advantage of. Next week coming up, there's an event I wanted to mention. It's Ted Stevens Day, the 4th Saturday in July, as established by the legislature. And so here in Juneau, there's going to be a celebration. The Capital City Republicans work with this year with the Treadwell Historic Committee, and there's going to be tours of the Treadwell mine site. And so there's a group going to be meeting at 9 a.m. at the log shelter at Sandy Beach and then heading out for those tours. And there's a nominal $10 charge for a water bottle, a map of Treadwell, and there's some commemorative Ted Stevens Day 2018 bandanas. So that is a good time. If you haven't ever had a guided tour of the Treadwell historic sites, it's much more illuminating than just going with a little hand leaflet that tells you what is at each of those numbered posts. So I highly recommend it. Also happening, of course, this evening is the summer block party over at the Centennial Hall Courtyard, the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council, where I work putting that on. Clay Good and Dan Kirkwood and the other members of Goldwing will be playing. And that'll start at 5:30 or so and go till 7 or so. So that's going on. There's also, of course, a Choked Up comedy show tonight. We talked to Rachel Bird and her guests to town, Alvin Williams and Emma Arnold. That'll be at the Imperial in the back room, and that'll start at 7-ish. Tonight, Allison Holtkamp and Corin Hughes-Scandish will be opening, local comedians from Club Baby Seal. Tomorrow, Clint Farr and Alicia Hughes-Scandish will be opening. So that's something to look forward to as well. And Juneau Lyric Opera was also here, John Clough and Lena Simmons, and they shared with us tomorrow evening's Midsummer Vocal Festival that'll be taking place at the JAC, the old JAC in the main hall. Tickets for that are still available. There's also auditions tomorrow for Cavaliera Rusticana, which is an upcoming production of Juneau Lyric Opera. So if you're interested in that, go to the JLO website or Facebook page and find out a little bit more about it. And with that, I will wrap up a Juneau Afternoon this Friday, the 20th of July. Thanks very much for listening. I think Andy Klein will be back next week, but I'll be back at some point in the not too distant future, I'm sure. And have a great weekend.